This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, February 15th, 2010. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, remembering Lucille Clifton. American poetry lost a powerful voice this past weekend. Lucille Clifton died on Saturday at the age of 73. Clifton was born in 1936 in Depew, New York, just outside of Buffalo. Langston Hughes championed her early work, and ever since, in book after book, she wrote with clarity and feeling about family, death, birth, civil rights, and religion. In 2007, Clifton won the Poetry Foundation's Ruth Lilly Poetry Prize for lifetime achievement. At the time, the judges wrote, quote, "Clifton has added enormously to the representation of the African-American experience in poetry and has been a kind of historical consciousness for her people and a public consciousness for us all." Shortly before that award was announced, I spoke with Lucille Clifton from her home in Maryland, and we're going to replay that interview now. You started writing when you were 10 years old. What got you started writing?
Well, my mother wrote poems.
Uh-huh.
Both my parents were great readers as well, though my father couldn't write. I started out answering Emily Dickinson's poems.
Really?
Yes, and they were awful, but that's okay.
Well, when did it occur to you that you could actually become a poet and make a career of it?
Well, that's going to occur to me any time now.
Maybe you've made a good start with this award, huh?
I think so.
Okay.
I call myself a poet now, but I've been writing publishing 40 years almost.
Yeah.
I think that was all a wonderful surprise. I must say that when my first book was published, and I like to say this so that women can hear it, my children were 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Wow. And where did you find time to write?
I did what I had to do. That is to say, I started in my head, and I didn't write poems down until they were nearly done.
No, that's astonishing.
But and now it's called multitasking, and it's supposed to be pretty good to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was just being a mother and doing what one had to in
yeah.
a way that one had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now you write a lot about family in your mm-hmm. in your poems, and there's one poem in particular I wanted to ask you to read. And this one is about your mother.
Yes, my mother died 48 years ago. But this is a poem written just a few years ago. It's called O Antic God. O Antic God, return to me, my mother in her 30s. Leaned across the front porch, the huge pillow of her breasts pressing against the rail, summoning me in for bed. I am almost the dead woman's age times 2. I can barely recall her song, the scent of her hands, though her wild hair scratches my dreams at night. Return to me, O Lord of then and now, my mother's calling, her young voice humming my name.
Now, what do you call it? What do you say, antic God? I'm not even sure what the word antic means. I've never.
It has to do with play in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like sometimes God seems fairly frivolous.
Mm.
And some of the things that might seem very serious to me might, to him, her, whoever, just be a casual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as a person who has had a number of losses in my life. My parents are dead. My husband is dead. My son, my daughter, my sister, my brother. That surely was either antic or tremendously cruel.
Yeah. And let me ask you, why do you write so much about family members?
First of all, I'm interested in writing about what it means to be human and ways to do that with grace and courage.
Mm-hmm.
And also family, which is sustaining always, I think. We write out of what we know. And I didn't come up in a tradition that tends to write about nightingales, which are not even indigenous to this country. I'm an American poet.
Yeah, I read something very moving in an interview with you that you said you didn't write about landscape because you were from the city and you never saw the landscape.
Well, you know, when I was young, African-American people didn't have the ability to travel around looking at landscape. And so I learned a great deal about the people.
There's another poem that I want to ask you to read that is really, really quite riveting and grim. based on an event that happened about 8 years ago, 9 years mm-hmm. ago now. And it's called Jasper, Texas, mm-hmm. 1998.
Well, in Jasper, Texas, an African-American man was picked up by two European-American men and dragged along the road and back of the truck until he was dismembered, among other things. If you were not horrified by that, something was wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can feel the anger in this poem. Can I get you to read that?
Okay. And may I say that some people have said, my, that poem is too hard. You know, I'm not put here to write pretty things. If I'm going to write about humanness, I want to write about it all.
Mm-hmm.
Jasper, Texas, 1998. I am a man's head hunched in the road. I was chosen to speak by the members of my body. The arm, as it pulled away, pointed toward me. The hand opened once and was gone. Why and why and why should I call a white man brother? Who is the human in this place? The thing that is dragged or the dragger? What does my daughter say? The sun is a blister overhead. If I were alive, I could not bear it. The townsfolk sing, we shall overcome, while hope drains slowly from my mouth into the dirt which covers us all. I am done with this dust. I am done.
Some of your poems are seen as life-affirming, and this one mm-hmm. is an exception to that. It's
sure.
It's about a tragedy.
To me, the idea that after something like that happens, mm-hmm. that I continue to write is affirming. That poetry continues to come to me.
I would love to get you to read another poem, but do you have another one that you would like to read, or can I suggest one?
Okay, suggest one. I'll see if I have it.
It's the one about your hips.
Oh, that's my second most popular poem.
Is that
I
right?
can recite that.
Maybe I can get you to do both. Can you recite both of them?
I'll try.
How about the...
I'll do the hips first.
Okay.
I usually start that by saying that I am a luxury-sized woman. And in the United States, you know, we like all kind of luxury-sized things except women. Which is very annoying. Anyway, the poem is called Homage to My Hips.
Mm-hmm.
These hips are big hips. They need space to move around in. They don't fit into little petty places. These hips are free hips. They don't like to be held back. These hips have never been a slave. They go where they want to go. They do what they want to do. These hips are mighty hips. These hips are magic hips. I have known them to put a spell on a man and spin him like a top. That's a fun poem. And there's a group in Texas, a band, lesbian women, who wrote me, and they were doing a song, but they wanted to change the gender. Want to know if I minded. Heck no, I don't mind.
When did you write that poem about your hips?
Oh, that was early 70s.
Uh-huh. And that was that in response to the feminist movement at the time? Or
no, that was response to my big hips. There's not always, you know, I mean, I'm not always responding to varying movements and things. I'm responding to life.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me, where do I get my ideas, for instance, as if poetry comes from ideas all the time. Poems do not come from what you know. They come from what you're trying to wonder about.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other poem, the most popular poem that you... Would you like to recite that one?
Yes. Well, it's one that has no title, and it's because I, at St. Mary's College of Maryland, from which I've recently retired, though I go there 1 week a semester, my title is... I love my title. It is Distinguished Professor of Humanities and Friend of the College. I'm a friend.
Yeah, a friend of the college. That's nice.
Anyway, and I heard, this was several years ago, I heard one of our distinguished faculty not understanding why I was there. She's the only person there that doesn't teach me. And I was feeling vulnerable at the time. I am much less vulnerable now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was sort of hurt by her wondering, thinking that I didn't belong there. So this poem begins, won't you celebrate with me what I have made into a kind of life? I had no model, born in Babylon, both non-white and woman. What did I see to be except myself? I made it up here on this bridge between starshine and clay, my one hand holding tight my other hand. Come, celebrate with me that every day something has tried to kill me and has failed.
That interview originally aired in May of 2007. Lucille Clifton died this past weekend. She was 73 years old. You can read more of her poems and more about her on our website, poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.